Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Minister Williams with Christian Speak Talk Radio, and we're going to be starting a series this week called Your Purpose, His Promise. Your Purpose, His Promise. How many know God has a purpose for each and every one of us? He has a purpose for each and every one of us, and He's given us so many promises that will help us fulfill the purpose that God has ordained for us. This is going to be part one of the series, and basically today's message is knowing your purpose, knowing your purpose. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Father, thanking you, Lord God, for your many blessings in our lives. Thanking you, Father, for all that you've done for us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for creating us in your image, Father, and giving us purpose, Lord God, to fulfill what it is you would desire us to fulfill. Lord, we thank you for using this vehicle as an opportunity to get your word out to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Knowing your purpose. You see, each of us has a purpose. And that purpose, whatever God has ordained for you, is to benefit his kingdom. Its intent is for you to draw people closer to God and or for you to reach souls for Christ, kingdom building. And the final analysis, that's what we all were created to do. We each have a purpose to fulfill the ultimate purpose, which is kingdom building. How we do that is in our individual purpose. First, you've got to know your individual purpose. What were you designed to do? You see, God knows what his purpose, his design is for you, but you've got to identify it. You've got to acknowledge it. You've got to embrace it, and then you've got to fulfill it, walk in it, that is. And get this, the purpose that God has for you is for you. It's not for your brother. It's not for your sister. It's not for girlfriend. It's not for boyfriend. It's not for your mother or your father. The purpose that God has ordained for you is for you. You see, no one else can fulfill your purpose. You are unique. You are one of a kind creation. When God created you, he created something special. He created something wonderful. When God created you, the intent was for you to walk in your purpose. We're going to go to our theme scripture today, Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Another version says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the King James Version. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You see, his plans are for your good and not for disaster, not for evil. So faith is good. That's in God's plan. Fear is evil. That spells disaster, and it's definitely not in God's plan. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith says all things are possible if you only believe. Fear says not so, not this time, not this one. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." These scriptures I'm sharing right now is just a foundation for getting to know your purpose. Remember, all good and perfect gifts come from God. Fear is not good, nor is it perfect, so it does not come from God. Okay, so you may be thinking, that's great. All of that is great. That's a promise from God. But how does that define my purpose? Get this. Your purpose originated with God's plan for you. Your purpose originated with God's plan for you. You see, you have to walk into your purpose with passion, practice, confidence, and a willingness to be teachable so that your purpose is fulfilled in every sense intended by God. I'm going to say that again. You have to walk into your purpose with passion, practice, confidence, and a willingness to be teachable so that your purpose is fulfilled in every sense intended by God. Okay, so you're still saying, that's great, that's great, but how will I know my purpose? Your purpose, His promise. God's plans for you are good, peaceful. God's plans will give you a future full of good and perfect gifts. God's plans for you are designed so that you can fulfill your purpose. But what is my purpose, you keep asking? Purpose, what is the definition of the word purpose? It's a noun. Purpose, the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Purpose. So ask yourself this question. Why do I exist? Have you ever asked yourself, what is your purpose? What am I here for? What was I created to do? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I here? Now let's take a break for a minute. I want to just pause for a minute just to share something, just to get some clarification to what we are talking about this evening. Let's not confuse our purpose with our gifts. Our gifts, we know, according to the Word of God, all good and perfect gifts come from God. Our gifts were given to us so that we can fulfill His purpose for us. Our gifts were given to us so that we can fulfill His purpose for us. I'm going to say that again. Our gifts were given to us so that we can fulfill His purpose for us. Our purpose, the reason for existence, the reason why God created me. Let's personalize this. Yes, we know that God created all of us in His own image. But why did He select me? Why did He allow me to live? What am I supposed to do with this life that He has given me? What is His task for me? Have you, with a sincere heart, had a frank discussion about your purpose with God? I mean, after all, since He is the one who made you in His own image, and since He knows the plans He has for you, who better to ask that question? Who better to answer that question? Who better to have that discussion with? Who better to communicate with concerning your purpose but God? Psalms 103 verse says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If you are sincere in knowing your purpose, have that conversation with God. Seek His wisdom and ask Him plain and simple. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you ask God for wisdom concerning your purpose, He will respond to you. Follow His word. Ask Him for wisdom. He desires that you come to Him seeking His will. And He will talk back to you. He won't let you down, my brother. And when you have that conversation, don't let it be a one-way conversation, my sister. Let it be a discussion where you ask Him and then you listen. Listen. Do you really desire to know what your purpose is? Are you sincere? Are you ready to accept and walk into your purpose with passion, practice, confidence, and a willingness to be teachable so that your purpose is fulfilled in every sense intended by God? To thy own self be true. Your purpose, you see, is already written on the tablet of your heart. This is how you tap into it. Proverbs 2. Listen to these words. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, talking about wisdom, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, talking about wisdom, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The 8th verse says, He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. 10th verse, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, get this, discretion shall preserve thee, Understanding shall keep thee obedience and asking God for wisdom. Obedience, be obedient and ask God for wisdom. Now get this, get this. God doesn't always answer you when you are talking with him. But are you listening? Are you really listening? You may be thinking, that makes no sense what you are saying. You're telling me to ask God what his purpose is for me. Then you tell me he may not tell me during that conversation. I want you to understand this. God has various means to answer our questions. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses things. Other times he uses circumstances. He even uses trials and tribulations to respond to us. So are you listening? His voice speaks to us through many ways. Yes, God uses other people to let you know your purpose. So are you listening to what others are saying? Have you ever been listening to someone talk about their passion or something that they are doing and you've said to them, maybe God wants you to do such and such. Maybe God wants you to start such and such. And that person responds to you, you know, I've heard that from lots of people. Could that be his purpose? Could that be her purpose? If you're traveling down the wrong path in terms of your purpose, you won't be flowing in it. It won't come naturally to you, you see. You'll be stumbling and wondering why. You will be spinning your wheels and going nowhere. Listen to what others say about your gifts or passions can guide you in the right direction. Check it out the next time someone notices or comments on one of your talents. Take note. God may be using someone else to confirm what your purpose is, for God surely uses other people. And most of the time, if you're really listening, you might learn something. It may be a confirmation because you already have heard it from someone else, or it all may be a candle that's lit in your heart, that's burning in your heart, and you need confirmation. There are times, however, when you shouldn't listen to what others are saying, but when what they're saying about you agrees with your passions, when it agrees with your heart, when it agrees with your own convictions, gifting, and what God has already revealed to you, it can be a definite sign of your God-given purpose. Your God-given purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Your purpose, God's promise. If you know you can't sing, for example, and someone who doesn't want to hurt your feelings say, go on, girl, you're sounding good. Let me tell you, don't get all swelled up. Don't run off to the nearest recording studio and spend all your money trying to make a CD. For you know within your heart, you know within your own personal conviction that your purpose in life isn't to draw others to him through your singing. God also uses your gifts to let you know what your purpose is. So listen to your gifts. I can listen to my gifts? Yes, you can. Get this. I've never truly enjoyed working with numbers. Whenever I come near statisticians, I feel like they're going to be second-guessing my counting. I feel like they're going to be double-checking my numbers. I feel like they're going to be analyzing away those numbers people. Numbers has never been my thing, and I doubt they ever will be because God created me with a different gift. Even though keeping up with the numbers isn't my gift, I believe I can write and communicate well. I believe I can encourage somebody somewhere along the way. So these gifts have been road signs to where God's purpose lies for me. Have you ever considered your talents and gifts? Do you enjoy flying, especially to the othermost parts of the world? Do you enjoy sharing the gospel to people from various places? Are you restless if you are traveling or going somewhere and sharing the good news with someone? Perhaps you're restless if you can't get to that foreign country, or you're restless if you can't go to the other town just to share the good news with someone. Have you ever been told that evangelizing in other countries could be your purpose? Perhaps God's purpose for you is to be an overseas evangelist. Perhaps God's purpose for you is to be an evangelist in general. What is your heart saying to you? Are you a strategic thinker? Are you a great listener? Can you motivate others through action with your words? Are you skilled at building things? I read once that you should make a list of the things and activities that interest you, in which you excel. You can also ask yourself, what's the one thing that I do better than anything else? What's the one thing I truly enjoy doing? Okay, have you considered it doing for God's glory? I believe God created some people to be comedians. Yes, I do. In order to get his message across in a different way. You see, God knows how to reach his people, and he uses your various gifts to do this. So again, ask yourself, what's the one thing that I do better than anything else? What makes me flow? What makes me tick? What gets my blood pumping? What gets my heart rate beating? This can also guide you to your God-given purpose. I read somewhere else that the gifts that God gives us are like little seeds planted inside us. But for them to grow, we have to use them. This means that if you can't identify with gift seeds God has given you, try doing new things that interest you. Through these new experiences, God will reveal more to you about who you are and how he has called you to serve him. Listen to other people, listen to your gifts, and then listen to your heart. Listen to your passion. What is it that you enjoy doing and you know God is well pleased with? What are you most passionate about? What gets you stirred up? What makes you want to keep on going even when others want to quit? What makes you want to get to the head of the line and say, come on, y'all, we can do this thing? Sure, there are a lot of things we enjoy doing, if you were to be honest with yourself. But the big question is it what God desires? If you ask yourself what makes you angry, what makes you joyful, what makes you excited or passionate, what would you say? Take note of what your emotions are. Take note of when your emotions are moved. These times can be a sign of your God-given gift. Pray. Pray. Ask God to show you the things that move you and make a list and remember. You see, he wants you to discover his purpose for you more than you do. Remember, your purpose is not just about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. Therefore, if you don't know what your purpose is, spend time in prayer with God. Listen to what others are saying. Listen to your gifts. And then listen to your heart. Listen to your passion. If you ignore or neglect these things, if you don't pay attention, spend some quality time reflecting on these things. If you don't pay attention to what others are saying about you, your gifts and your passions, you would not only miss your blessing, you would not be living that life that God has ordained for you. You would not be pleasing God because he has called you to a purpose and wants you to walk in it for others and for your own joy. Also, consider that since God has created you, that he's called you, he's completely able to reveal your purpose to him. And he wants to do so. So seek him diligently, as in Hebrews 11, chapter 6, verse, your purpose, God's promises. Romans 8:23-28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. 29-30-31 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Get this. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, God designed you for a particular purpose. God's desire is for you to know, recognize, and with confidence walk in the purpose he has ordained for you. Your purpose, God's promises. Your gift will make room for you. Proverbs 18:15-17 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Your God-given gifts are to be used to fulfill your purpose, the purpose that God has given you from the beginning of time. Just a personal note. You see, I walked around for years trying to figure out exactly what my purpose was. Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Lord, why am I here? Lord, why did you create me for this? What did you create me to do? Lord, what am I supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God? The answer is almost synonymous with this old saying, if you build it, they will come. What does that mean, sister? If you build it, they will come. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Practice. Go in a direction you think the Lord will have you go in and practice. And if that's what God wants to use you for, then it will flow, as I said before. It will flow. Listen to your heart. My purpose, yes, to please God. For we all were created for his pleasure. But what was his purpose for me? What was I supposed to be doing with the precious gift he has bestowed upon me? I knew what it wasn't. my gift wasn't to draw people to God by singing. Oh, no, you don't want to hear me sing. I love singing, but I'm not desired to sing before the public. I know that. For I wasn't given the gift for singing. In order to walk in your purpose, you have to accept and use the gift God has given you. Don't envy somebody else's gift. You don't know what God has given them. Don't be jealous because of someone else's gift. God has given you a unique gift for the unique purpose he has designed for you. You see, my purpose wasn't to glorify God by helping the people in the health industry. I wasn't born to be a doctor, for example, for the sight of too much blood makes me nauseous. But I thank God for those who were. I thank God for those people who he had given the purpose to be doctors and nurses and attendants and so forth and so on. If you build it, it will come. As you go about doing the work of God's kingdom and begin to sincerely ask God to reveal things to you, if you truly search your heart, you will become more sensitive to what you are supposed to be doing. And when it hits home what you are supposed to be doing, guess what? You'll know your purpose. It was like a bright light just went off. It was like bells going off. Oh, yes, that's it. I got it. I know what God's purpose is for me. So I went about what became natural to me. You see, I always try to encourage somebody. At first, to be honest, I really didn't see that as a gift. I was just walking to what I was destined to do, not knowing that this was my calling from God. Sometimes it would be a one-on-one encouragement, face-to-face with one-on-one. Other times it would be in groups. But over a period of time, I realized that this was something I didn't learn, something I didn't acquire. It was a gift from God. Sometimes I would meet strangers, and they would just begin to pour out their life story to me. I might start off by thinking to myself, why is this person sharing all this with me? Oftentimes, I'll end up sharing words of encouragement with them, something that will hopefully brighten their day, something that will hopefully brighten their life. I'm only a small piece of the puzzle, a small piece. The word of God lets us know that one planteth, one watereth, but God does the increase. My purpose isn't any greater or bigger or grander than your purpose is. You see, I get joy out of seeing the word of God become alive, become illuminated, wake up someone in someone's life. I get joy out of that. If you build it, it will come. I go about whether in a formal setting or an informal setting. Oftentimes, what begins as a simple conversation evolves into a necessary doing what God has called me to do conversation. Lots of times this happens, and I don't even realize it's happening until maybe the middle or towards the end. Or maybe the next day I'll go back and I'll reflect on what happened. When I find myself teaching or encouraging someone, it really encourages me. Isn't that just like God? You see, it's not about me. It's about the God in me. It's not about you. It's about the God in you. It's his spirit using me. I'm just a vehicle. I need to be careful that I don't get carried away thinking it's all about me, for it's not. It's all about God. You see, God gave me the spirit of teaching as a way to encourage others. And the joy I receive in encouraging others returns unto me over and over and over again like a boomerang. And it encourages me. Look at this. Listen to this. A fish was not designed to be on land. Even the fish did try to convince themselves they could learn to like the grass. They never would, and they would never prosper. In fact, they would eventually die because a fish was never designed to be out of the water, to be on land. Have you ever asked yourself this? Have you ever been asked to do something to assist with a particular ministry, and no matter how hard you tried, something just wasn't connecting? You prayed and you sought guidance and you tried, and it just didn't connect with your spirit. You tried to give it your best, but something just wasn't clicking. Did you feel like a fish out of water? You see, God has given each of us special gifts to use for his glory. If he didn't give you the gift of singing, then you should know that your purpose, his purpose for you, isn't that you sing before a large audience and your journey won't take you to Carnegie Hall. Your heart will tell you if you listen very carefully. When a heart desire is to know what God's purpose is for us, begin to activate new direction in our lives. You see, God knows if you are sincere in finding your purpose. There are many ways you can learn your purpose. That is, there are many ways God uses to let us know what our purpose is. Your purpose, God's promise. Oftentimes, we allow distractions to lure us away from fulfilling our purpose. Sometimes, we know our purpose, but we refuse to accept it. That reminds me of the prophet Jonah. So let's pause for a minute and go to Jonah, the first chapter and the first verse. Then the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me." But Jonah refused to do so. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found himself in a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went into it to go with them unto Tarshish. Now God had told him to go to Nineveh, and here Jonah is on a ship going to Tarshish to get where he thought he could get away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord knew what he wanted Jonah to do. So the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. They tried to lighten the load because they were trying to understand what it was that they had done. They thought they had done something. They thought they had done something to cause this great wind, this great storm to come upon them. But Jonah was going down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Have you ever been sleeping on the job and you knew God had given you a task to do? God wants you to fulfill his purpose, and you decided you were going to do your own thing? Well, back to Jonah. The shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleepers? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God would think upon us that we perish not." Now this lets me know that they knew a little bit about Jonah. They knew that Jonah was a praying man. I don't know how much they knew about Jonah, but they knew that Jonah knew about God. And they said, "Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto Jonah, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and where do you come from? What is it thy country, and of what people are they?" And Jonah says unto them, I am Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because Jonah had told them. Then they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm to us?" For the sea was wrought and was temperous. Then Jonah says, "Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nonetheless, the men didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. So they kept on trying to bring the ship to the land. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. But they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleaseth thee." But you know, after a while, the ship kept on tossing and turning, and they had to do what Jonah had asked them to do. So they threw Jonah overboard. Look how much trouble Jonah had caused others because of his disobedience. If Jonah had honored God and done what God had told him to do in the beginning, these men wouldn't have been tossed and turned. They wouldn't have been confronted with this idea, this notion that they had to get rid of Jonah in order to save themselves. What is it you have refused to do of God that has caused others destruction, that has caused others to move away from God, that has caused others not to come close to God? What purpose have you been avoiding so that you can be comfortable in your own self rather than doing the things that God would have you to do? So the Lord, though, thank you, Father, prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And the story goes on. We know that God allowed that same fish to swallow up Jonah. We know that God allowed that fish to toss Jonah out onto dry land. And we know that Jonah eventually went on about and did what God wanted him to do. And we knew that through Jonah's obedience, final obedience, that the people of Nineveh were saved. Now the story continues from there. But my purpose of sharing that with you is Jonah's disobedience initially caused so many others distraught, when he knew what his purpose was. So I start off here by saying, sometimes you know your purpose, but because of your disobedience, because of your discomfort, because of your fear, because of whatever it is that you don't want to do, you not only miss your blessing, but you cause others to miss their blessings as well. Are you walking according to the promises of God? Are you walking in your purpose that God has destined for you? Are you walking according to his promises? Are you standing on the promises of God? If you were to ask someone who is certain of their purpose in God's kingdom, and if they were to be honest, I doubt many would tell you that they recognized right away what their purpose was. Yes, some may have received their answer right away with such clarity that they knew without a shadow of a doubt why they were created. However, for the majority of us, it may have been a longer process. Oftentimes, trials and temptations would help us to determine what our purpose is. That may sound crazy, but stay with me for a minute. It's like walking a treasure map, receiving first one clue and then another, with the understanding building over time. Going through life in this way, asking and praying and waiting to receive the answer, builds faith, courage, and strength, and opens within us a passageway of divine light that communicates with the spiritual realms in a continual way. This process also purifies us and releases us from older ways of relating to life, so we begin to see and fear and do in a whole new way. In summary, your purpose is to walk according to the promises of God. In order to reach the destiny God has designed for you, you must walk according to the promises of God. There's an old song I'm not going to sing, but it says something like, standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. This series, in part one of this series, we're not going to so much focus on God's promises, but I did want to share some of the scriptures with you so that when we continue next time, we will go into them a little bit more in depth. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I have come that thou might have life, and that they have it more abundantly. Jesus says, I come that you might have life. You see, he knew what our purpose was, and he wants us to have life more abundantly. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So many other promises we'll delve into later, like 2 Peter 1:4. All because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable us to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Isaiah 40:29-31 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love this one. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God has given us all the promises we need, all the things he needs, everything we need, all the tools we need. He's given us to us so that we can walk in the promise that God has created us to do, so that we can walk in the promises that God has created us to do, and we can fulfill our purpose with peace, because John 14:20 says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give out unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Your purpose, God's promises. You see, these promises of God let us know that God wants the best for us. God wants us to walk in our purpose, and that his promises will sustain us as we work to do his will. The promises of God are powerful and awesome to grasp. I pray that these scriptures about God's promises were helpful to you today. Knowing your purpose is key to being and doing all that God has created for you to do. So in summary, on this part one of this series, pray and have that conversation with God. Have that discussion with God. Seek his wisdom. Listen closely. Don't be so anxious to get a word in. Listen to what he has to say. Remember, oftentimes he may use others other ways to let you know what your purpose is. He uses people. So listen to what others may be telling you about your gifts, about your talents. Listen to your own gifts. Listen. Take note. Listen to your own passion, your own heart. Remember, your purpose was determined way before you were born. At the beginning of time, your gifts, all good and perfect gifts come from God, were given to you freely so that you could fulfill your purpose. Remember, your purpose isn't just about you, it's about helping others to reach higher heights in Him, to get closer to Him. Remember, finally, you are destined to succeed. You were created for His good pleasure. You were created to be everything He desires for you to be. Greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world. Remember, don't allow stumbling blocks to prevent you from walking in your purpose. Your purpose, God's promises. I couldn't leave you without wanting to make sure you understand that our main purpose is to draw others to Christ. Our main purpose is to draw others to Christ, to make sure everybody knows that in order to have a relationship, any relationship needs to start with a relationship with God. We do not want to assume that everyone listening right now is saved. So for those of you who are not saved, for those of you who are unsure of your salvation, listen very carefully. At the end of the day, when you breathe your last breath or when Jesus comes back, what will be your destiny? If you've already accepted Jesus into your heart and you're saved, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That means you've acknowledged that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. That means that you've asked for forgiveness. That means you've repented of your sins, and by faith, you have received His forgiveness. But if you have not done that, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, if you want to be saved, you have to first admit that you are a sinner, according to Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You need to be willing to turn from your sin, that is to repent. And you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that He was buried and rose from the dead. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Through prayer, invite Jesus to your heart right now. Right now. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you haven't accepted Him as your personal Savior, then pray this prayer with me, please. And you have to pray with a sincere heart. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for doing just that. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to get it right. Thank you, Lord God, for the promise of having eternal life with you, Father, because I've accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Now, if you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have just begun a wonderful new life with Him. So you need to read your Bible every day to get to know Him. Get to know Him better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Get baptized. Join a local church fellowship. Serve with other Christians in a local church where Christ is preached and the Bible is the final authority. Tell others about Jesus. My prayer would be that you know your purpose and that you use these good and perfect gifts from God to fulfill it. Don't be selfish. Share the good news with others. Encourage somebody every day. Start your day off by asking God to show you someone who needs Him. Stay tuned for part two of this series, Standing on the Promises of God. The entire series is called Your Purpose, His Promise. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this message, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this vehicle, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you said in your word, when it goes forth, it will never return unto you void. So, Lord, we believe by faith it's accomplished that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. We thank you, Lord God, that you'll seal everyone that listened to this message. You seal them, they're sealed to the until the day of redemption. We thank you, Father. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise, for you and you alone are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen.